You know now,
everybody's worried,
hey now,
about that atom bomb.
Well,
no one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
get your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon.
And then he'll
hit like an atom bomb. Will he come? Will he come?
In 1945, the atom bomb became alive. 1949, the USA got very wide. They found that a country from across the line had an atom bomb of the very same kind. The people got worried all over the land, just like the people did in Japan. God told Elijah to send down fire, to send down fire from the sky. He showed old Noah all the rainbow signs, and it wouldn't be water but fire next time. You know that
everybody's worried,
hey now,
about that atom bomb.
Hey, hey.
No one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon.
And here Don't you get worried, just bear in mind. Trust in Jesus and you shall find peace and happiness, joy divine. With King Jesus on the line. God told Elijah to send down fire from the sky. He said he would, and I believe he will. God will fight your battle if you just keep still. You know that.
Everybody's worried,
hey, now,
about that atom bomb.
Hey, now,
no one's been worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon, and he'll.
Hey, 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 my Lord, you know
it's
it.
Like an atom bomb when he comes.
You know now,
everybody's worried about that atom bomb.
Hey, now,
no one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon, and he'll.
Hey, 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 my Lord, you know him.
It's like an atom bomb when he comes, when he comes.
That silent night, when God came down as a holy child. Mary was starting to feel the labor. The inn was full, so they went to the stable. The town was buzzing and full of life. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, baby, Jesus was meek and mild. The barnyard gang was going wild. The camel spitting, the donkeys kicking. The mother hen chasing baby chicken. Not a soul gonna sleep tonight. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Now go. But a silent night, well, the angels sang, so all could hear. The king is born, but do not fear. You'll find him in a manger low, but he'll grow up and save your soul. The trumpet blast shook the sky. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Glory, glory, what's it to you?
Traveled down until they arrived at Bethlehem town. Praise the Lord, what a sight. Anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Oh, yeah. Glory, glory, what's it to you? God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby.
From far and wide, just to stand by that baby's side. The glory streamed from up above. He is life and he is love. The cows are restless, the baby's crying. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory,
up in here. There's a baby born. Jesus, the Lord's son. Can't be quiet.
Sleep very deeply the last two nights, and I know what he's doing. see, because there's the Lord gives his beloved sleep, okay? So I'm his beloved. But I've also given the Lord permission to do whatever he wants to do with me in this last hour. I've also given him permission to let and for me to share with him time of need, because God's about to move some chess pieces that are very difficult for him. He's a very good and loving God. So because I've done that, I experience on occasion these times where he keeps me up, I don't sleep, different little things going on, and I don't mind it at all. But I'm tired today because it's been two nights now, and but I really want to share it. And I've worked both days and then homeschooled after that, so it's just a really busy schedule. School's almost out, though, praise God. Anyway, so what's going on is that the dream, okay, so I know the Lord is keeping me up with him. He's letting me feel what he's feeling, but this dream got me. And because, see, we're a prophetic generation, we're a prophetic people, so we will from time to time. Now, God's not going to do it every day where I can't sleep every day. He wouldn't do that. God's good. So if you're not sleeping every day, you figure out, what am I eating? Let me ask God, you know, to help me sleep, give all my worries to him, because for the most part, he gives his beloved rest, and he does. But because I've given him that permission, I don't mind at all. This is a total flirt. And I don't mind being tired, because it's okay, you know. We're almost out of here. Anyway, so in the night, I had a dream that I was leaving somebody's home to go back to my home. And the only reason why I went to their home in the first place was because a dog was chasing me, or there was dogs out there, or something was going on. And so I found myself in people's homes, and they were these people, this man and this woman, they were nice enough. But I told them, yeah, there was something out there, so thanks for letting me come in here. And so then I said, okay, well, I'm going to leave now. I don't hear the noise anymore. So when I walked out to go back to my house, which wasn't very far, it started raining, regular rain out of nowhere, and then it started hailing. And then practically with each step I took, the hail increased to larger and larger sizes. It was insane. It was horrible. It was actually starting to really hurt. They were just getting bigger and bigger. Big, huge ice hail. Now, I know Texas was having tennis ball size hail, I heard. I don't know if that's true, Michelle, but I read that. Michelle, the weather woman, can tell us. But anyway, the Lord let me feel the fear of it, the terror of it, the sheer, oh my gosh. It was really, I know you might not think this sounds scary, but it really was. Between the dogs, it was animals outside, and I was unsafe, and they were just everywhere. So I ran into these people's homes, and then, you know, they were really sweet to let me do that, this man and this woman. And then I went to go home, and then it was hailing, and I woke up with my heart pounding. See, I haven't really been into a deep sleep for two nights, and the Lord's done this before. And so it was quite amazing, and then my heart was beating, and I knew it was prophetic. We're a prophetic generation, so the Lord is sharing with us what's going on and what's to come. And I mostly what I really felt, and it was such a flirt, was that I could feel the fear upon the land. As soon as I woke up, I knew exactly what God was doing. I was fine. See, as soon as I totally woke up, I'm like, oh, my heart was beating. I walked to the kitchen. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, Lord. We are so blessed to have the Lord's peace and joy residing within us. I just don't take it for granted. It can be, mental health is a gift. It can be snatched in a minute. I never take it for granted that I wake up with God's peace, every minute of the day, I have a satisfaction, a peace. I don't walk in fear. I don't walk in stress. That is just, most of the world does not have that right now. And so when he let me, you know, have that feeling, and, of course, when I was fully awake, I realized, okay, you're showing me the fear and what's coming and more. And see, God told me right before he gets here, it's going to get real bad. It is real bad right now. We are definitely leaving any second. But it's getting ugly. But I just, it was a flirt. I wanted to share it. I was actually really excited to share it because disasters are all a part of what God's doing to wake people up. So I get very excited about kind of disaster because it's God saying, wake up, wake up. It's really, I think why I get so happy about it is because to me, it's a reflection of God's love, where some people that don't know God and they don't understand the times we're in, they look at these disasters and they're like, where's God? And I'm like, I have just the opposite reaction when I see these disasters taking place. I'm like, look at how merciful our daddy is. He's causing people to wake up, and he's allowing such little death to occur compared to the size and the magnitude of the disasters. And it's the truth. With everyone, I can say that. I've looked at it all, and I've traveled the globe quite a bit, so I know where dense populations of people are and where large populations of people are, and I'm telling you, My background, I'm telling you, these disasters that are occurring on such a large scale are having just such little death counts. Praise you, Daddy. You are so good. And yet, it's making a huge impact. People are seeing how fleeting and temporary their homes are, their cars are, their lives are. It's causing people to look up. America needs to wake up. And the whole world does. And the whole world is. But America, by and large, has been asleep more than the others because we're so blessed. That's just what happens when you get blessed, okay? And that's why God keeps me on my toes. If he blesses me too much, I just might get too lazy and fall asleep, right? He's keeping me on my toes. He loves me. And so just be excited that you're a prophetic generation when God allows, you know, sleeplessness or different things because he's showing you stuff. I embrace it. I was excited. I trudged on through today at work and helped my son with his schoolwork and did all kinds of stuff. But you know what? It's Friday, TGIF. I hope to not be here Monday. Of course, I'm wondering why God gave me this summer school job, which fell into my lap, which is a mile from my home. And so it makes me think, am I really going to be here? Because it doesn't start till June 15th, and it ends July 17th. And I'm like, why would you give me this? Why? I'm doing my own little questioning because that's just what I do. And I'm like, does that mean we're going to, are you setting me up? Are you trying to, you know, what are you doing? Because he doesn't lie and he doesn't play games. But I'm like, what does that mean? Does that mean we're leaving in August and you just wanted me to have enough? Or I don't know what's going on. Why? You know? Believe me, I'm bugging out on it. Because, I mean, literally, I went for the interview. They totally loved me. I got it right away, of course. It's just a summer school job, but still, I had to go through all this formal stuff. And they're bringing me into a physical, and I have to take a physical exam and all this crazy stuff. And I'm just wondering, what's going on, Lord? So now I think he's coming in August. Don't listen to me, though. Don't get depressed, okay? But I still think it's today. I think it's any second. I really do. But I'm tripping out on why he's sending me to do this assignment. I'm just like, it's curious to me because I didn't think he said to turn it down. Don't turn. But you know what? I get my marching orders daily, and believe me, every day in God stuff. Like, okay, am I still supposed to be doing this? Is this okay? You know, and he understands that I'm pestering because I mean, this is the end of the world. None of us have lived like this before. None of us. None of us have. It's the end of the world. So, we're kind of learning as we go. I'm learning as I go. My sister texted me today. She said, pray for me. My boss just gave her resignation. She's going to Texas. I'm thinking, does she know what's going on? She's going to Austin, Texas. I'm like, she's getting transferred to Texas. Has she not looked? Wow. What's going on there? Anyway, and so my sister's like, pray. I'm like, don't worry, sis. You're not going to be here much longer. And she's like, that doesn't help me. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm praying, you know, but remember, always keep that at the forefront of your mind, okay, that it's temporary. And it really should give you joy, you know. And then she ended up thanking me. She was offended that I said it. I know, but I still have to plan. Yeah, I know. But remember in your planning that it's all very, it's my job to say. I knew she was going to get mad at me for saying it because she always does, but I said, Lord, do I have to text her this? He's like, yeah, just tell her anyway. And I'm like, you know, it's not my fault I'm the mother of a 10-year-old prophet that, you know, it's not my fault I know all this stuff, okay? And so, you know, I just have to be faithful to continue to remind people and remind, you know, I don't have to remind myself every day. All I think about is getting out of here. There's no future here. You can't live, you know, God didn't create this condition for us to stay in it for very long. And he's good. He's not into torturing us. He's wonderful. So even if you're rapture centric, you know, don't use that as an excuse to live a tortured life. I had a very beautiful, full and lovely day today, even though I was tired. Okay. My cats are good. My son is blessed. My students are lovely. And God gave me the ability to make some money so I can, you know, have my needs met. He's a good God. He's very good. I had all the food I needed, the water I needed. He's wonderful. And he's going to continue to keep us doing just fine till he gets here. I didn't say you wouldn't struggle. Of course, the trials, they keep you on the edge of your seat. The Bible says that they produce in us a lot of patience, and all the fruits of the Spirit is what these trials do. These trials just do that, you know. And so you are blessed by God if you continue to face trials. And the temptation in the trial is to be offended or to blame God. But you know what? I've been on this walk for 28 years, and God is never to blame. He is always the good guy on your side. He's always the good guy, always. He's never bad. He's always good. Everything he does is good. All of his thoughts and intentions toward us are wonderful, and they're far good. And we'll understand in a blink of an eye why he did it this way, why, you know, why all the date setting, why all the anticipation of today. But I believe it. I'm not required to understand it all, but I am required to act upon faith on what God shows me, and I do. And it takes faith to act in faith, okay? It takes faith to keep believing. You know, it was easy in the beginning when your son is overtaken by God and prophesying. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. It's the Lord talking. But this is, you know, this is what the children of Israel encountered. You know, they saw this miraculous deliverance from Egypt, and they saw the Red Sea part, or the Reed Sea, whatever you want to call it, and they saw manna from heaven. They saw all these miracles, just like we've seen. I've seen. I mean, it's first. I lived with my son. I saw what happened to him. I saw that miracle. If you believe me, you're going to be blessed. If you believe a 10-year-old prophet, you're blessed. And so I saw that. Now, the temptation as time goes on is like, why did that really happen? Yes, it really happened. Why? Is he God just never coming? Just like they said, is he never going to bring us to our promise? Are we going to wander forever? And our temptation is, are we just going to sit here forever every day and say, today? Come on. I'm not a fool. I know what he said. So I believe every day that he's coming today. Do I think that he's up to some things? Yeah. But, you know, for all I know, he's trying to surprise me like a groom would do and land this job in my lap to, like, you know, and then come and get me right before it starts. Because he's like, just kidding. You don't have to do that, silly goose. And I think he's also doing it to my sister so she sees, okay, don't worry, you're going to get your rent. Calm down. You know? Because God bless her. Anyway, so, you know, God is wonderful. He's good. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for creating this church. But, you know, God's winding things down here at RCC. And if Jerry, you know, Jerry, we were talking about this earlier today, you know, it's a sign and a flirt. He's winding things down. I mean, it means it's time to go. And he's slowing things down, you know. We have stuff to share, and then we share it and we're done, because there's just not a, you know, he's winding things down. He's closing it up. And I mean, I don't think we're going to be here much longer, but if we are, we might go to like 4 days a week or 5 days a week on the show, just because things are winding down. We don't know, but we were just talking about it today and praying and asking God, because that's a sign and a flirt. We're always going to be in touch with each other, all of us. But we were thinking maybe doing the radio show a little bit less because, you know, it's just every single day. And, you know, it's okay. It's a flirt. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's good news. And God's winding things up, and he's about to take us out of here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. So, yeah, don't keep in your childlike faith. The most wisdom will be found in childlike faith. So keep believing what he showed you from the start. You know, like the children of Israel, believe. Believe everything he showed you. Act in faith and continue to stand. I have. Nothing I said was ever made up, so I've never changed my story. It's been really easy to keep my story straight because I didn't have to add anything or take anything away. And, you know, I see the same thing with Kleck. I really respect, you know, his walk too and everybody here at RCC. But, you know, his experience with that archangel was real. Nothing's changed. I've never seen him I've never seen any inconsistencies within his story. I've never seen him, you know, and it's the truth. You know, when God wants to shake people up and wake them up, he does weird things. I mean, who would think he'd use a 10-year-old to give us the order of events? Who would you think, you know, Jonathan Kleck was just this person, and God just totally turned his world upside down and wanted to show him the plans of the evil one and to expose that. In the Bible, that's so biblical. God says, you know, expose evil. He says that in his word. And so to expose it, and that's what his ministry does. And part of that was to announce that the Lord's coming, and he believes it's today, every day, too. And so does everybody here at RCC, as far as I know, and we're continuing to build each other up in our faith and in what God's doing. And at just the perfect moment, another flirt comes. Just when, you know, because, see, the reason why I think God flirts with people more than others is because they're looking for him. He rewards faith. That's why I try to tell everyone, you know what, it's not that God loves me more than you, but He responds to me maybe more than you because I believe every freaking thing he does, okay? I wasn't always like that. It took me years to trust this beautiful God of mine. It took me years to totally trust him. I still don't 100%. I don't think any of us will till he gets here, but I believe him and I know he's good. But you know what I mean? There's parts of my heart. Really, can I really give this to you? Are you really going to take care of this, you know? Because, you know, it's weird to think that someone loves you that much, and it's hard for us to get used to it. I receive it and believe it. Trust me, I do. But, I mean, until he gets here, we're not perfect, but we're growing every day. We're growing. We're learning what this faith walk is. We're learning what it is to be living in the last hour. And when we get to heaven and find out we were like the rock stars on the front line of the end times, we're going to be like, wow, look at how we held the line. And we're going to be telling funny stories in our mansion parties. And remember how Michelle saw rabbits? Remember Alana? And then her computer broke, so then she called in every day. And remember how she was in the parking lot? And, you know, we're just going to laugh. We're going to laugh. We're going to talk about the faith that are endured. We hung in there. We're going to laugh that, you know, there's just a few of us left. And I have a song for everyone that leaves RCC. I tell Jerry, another one bites the dust, and another one gone, another one gone, another one bites the dust. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's just God created such a free platform here, you know, and I'm sure the dust they're biting is good. I'm just making a joke. Because, you know, the thing is, He created a safe place to come and go if you want. And people that have stuck around, it's because they're nurturing others. They didn't just come and take, and then, oh, there's nothing there to take. And they didn't just stick around to give. So what we have left here at RCC is a really sweet, loving, giving family that doesn't just receive but give back, you know. And I appreciate it. I'm glad that the Lord allows people to go, you know, because he does have to do what he's doing, and I trust him on it. I love everyone that's come and gone. I miss people, but I don't really, honestly, because it's like, if you're not called to be here, then I don't want to stop God's plan for your life, you know. And so it's just the way it is. I mean, we get some back behind the scenes stuff we do. And we were dealing with more of it today. And I'm like, Jerry, seriously though, look at all the beautiful people he's left here at RCC. It's like refinement, pure as gold. Don't let the criticism behind the scenes of people that have their own reasons, like, bum us out. Look at how blessed we are to have people that we can fellowship with till he gets here that actually have pure and kind hearts with good motives. And, you know, that are being matured and refined by God and can take it. it's not easy being in Jesus Christ. He established an end times church, and he wants to refine people and work on them, but sometimes he has to remove them from his church because it can be, it's not a place that's good for them to grow because maybe they have their eyes on people too much. And, you know, I think you should really be alone in your bedroom with Jesus if people are distracting you, because that's how I found him. So that I'm a real big person on that, but I'm also an introvert. But I'm a real big proponent of, you know, get away from people and get with God. And then once you're with him and he's your priority, then get in community, because the tendency is to rely on people and then to get disappointed by people. And I'm glad people get disappointed in people, because you really should be. God let me go through years of that. I kept trying to find the perfect people, the perfect church, the perfect that. It's not there. It never will be. And even though I knew that in my brain, it was still so disappointing to see so much compromise and so much stuff in the church that was just like the world. It was so depressing to me until God taught me stuff and let me see everything. And it really, it's just been a process and a journey. And what I'm saying is, people that have left, I've said, this is good for you. Don't apologize to me. I think it's good. If you're spending too much time here and there and it's causing conflict, go. Go be alone with God. You're going to marry him. He's your king. This is not the time to be playing around, really. It's not. And then if you have your priorities straight, then I think God will put you in a community that's safe for you because you are keeping your eyes on him. I'm not hiding anything. People still say, so what's the inside scoop? Is it really today? I'm like, yes, everything that I have said, and I say in secret, I'm telling you everything I know, everything that happened to my son, everything that God told me, I have been honest with everybody. There is no little formula I'm hiding from anyone. Okay. It really is today. I really do believe he's coming today. That's the last thing he told a 10-year-old prophet to believe. And I also believe that the date sets will continue to come. But another thing I'm noticing at RCC, which I find very peculiar, is that no one is getting any more date sets. I haven't heard anyone say anything into June. And I'm pretty kept up on everything. Jerry, is anyone saying anything about June?
No, in fact, Jason replied to me for an email this afternoon and said that he's still hanging in there for May, and that he had already had his own leading here for today and tomorrow mostly, and so he's having the same things. You know, I just want to make something clear, just in the context of how you mentioned that stuff. You know that. We're content and happy with where we're at as a group and how the show's going, because it's stable and friendly, and it's a good environment for us to hang out. And, you know, every house could have a great living or family room, but the people aren't there every minute of the day. So,
That's a good way to put it.
And that's how I've always seen this. This is a safe place for those of a certain amount of maturity that isn't widespread. And we do things and are able to do things in a different way. But it's for those of us for whom it's compatible. Some people pass away and sense the love or see the power or the insight, and they hang for a while. And then, you know, they either have questions or whatnot. We don't need to get into all that. But anyway, I also wanted to make it clear that we're not unhappy or troubled at all by anything at the moment.
It's wonderful.
Everybody has
always been wonderful.
Has their own disposition. And this actually kind of relates to maybe a little reading I was going to get into, but before I get there, and I might even not do it, but one of the things I am going to try to do, I think at least, you know, I think Michelle's going to host tomorrow and Tana's going to host Sunday. Everybody can do it the way they want, but you know, I typically am hosting 3 to 5 days a week, but in just in general, I mean, we've moved the starting time back, and somehow or other. Anyway, what I want to do is start the participation a little bit sooner and not go into the second hour as much unless there's a really compelling reason to do so. So it's just a casual announcement, and then where we go from there, I don't know. But so that's what we're going to try to do. I thought I was going to do that a long time ago, and it hasn't really happened. But that's where we're going to move, and every day it can be different, and we'll just see how it goes. So we're not troubled by anything right now. We have a lot of peace about where we're at. So I'll just say that. I mean, you know, I just wanted to be clear about that. We're just talking about historically and just kind of watching things and how they've gone. And,
it's exciting. You know,
there's a lot of people that we've met and that we love, that we're happy to have met and still value, but have become uncomfortable for one reason or another to hang out, and that's okay.
Totally fine.
And some people don't get that we think that that's okay.
You know what? I know. It's like there's no hard feelings. Really isn't. Okay?
Right.
It's fine. I probably won't put as much energy into talking to someone if they're going to just come and go, because that's just like common sense. Like, you know, you get into a friendship what you put into it, you take out. So if you're just going to be a fly-by, then I mean, you know what I'm saying? But come and go as you want. It's a safe place to fellowship and talk with people and make friends. It really is. God is good.
So speaking of friends, Pat called in, and she's been on hold.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Pat.
Yeah, I'm late. More drama with my daughter at work. Oh, pray for Laura. I mean, she got accused of stuff today she didn't do. Some kid was having a total fit. He's 5 years old. The parents don't do anything to get a medical advice or anything. He goes absolutely berserk, and she had to restrain him, and then he said that she heard him, and she didn't, and the kid hurt himself, and so it's just a total mess. She's going to do the graduation, and then she's going to quit. She says, I think God's given me enough signs to get out of there, so because the higher-ups are just they're crazy. But God told her just to hang in there. Mm-hmm. She prays all the time, and she listens to God. And she said she just wouldn't, you know, she took the abuse and stuff and still remained kind. But it's the thing she tells me, it's one thing after another that she gets accused of stuff. And my daughter is a beautiful soul. She loves the Lord, and her work is done.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a teacher. But, you know what a teacher is.
Yeah,
5 year old.
Evil.
Oh, my God.
It's evil all over the place. It's a preschool, right? It's a preschool.
Yeah, it's a daycare.
Yeah, there's so much evil that goes on in anything with regarding
beauty.
Children.
I
it's like every institution that used to be good, like nurses and teachers. Oh. All those. My sister's. I'm a teacher. My sister's a nurse. Any people with good hearts really can't stay in these professions because
no,
the Lord's
she's
coming.
Getting out.
That's
she's
really
getting
the
out.
Truth. The
it'll,
people
it'll,
with the good
it'll
hearts.
Destroy her. The kids are nuts.
And the people
the
with
nuts.
Good hearts that really are
sick.
Actually there. Mm-hmm. I know.
The kids,
that's why I tell
mentally,
people don't.
Mentally challenged kids that nobody's doing anything about. The parents won't do anything about it. You know?
Well,
the
parents are the ones who created the problem for probably
no
most
kidding.
Of these kids because
and
not,
they won't.
Yeah.
They won't fix it.
Yeah,
and then
so,
Laura gets accused of, because she's trying to restrain the kid who's flailing all over the place and screaming for 15 minutes. Laura was shaking. She was so upset. And the higher ups are like just putting her down. I said, how many signs does God have to give you to get the hell out of there, really? Because you're going to have a stroke. She already had high blood pressure problems. Yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad, but you know
it's
what?
Sad.
It's also good for her because, see, you know, when you quit a job and stuff, it kind of people need to reflect on what God's doing and what times we're really living in. I mean, I have a friend.
She makes good money, but that's not it.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
It's
when the good money's taken away, it's good for people to reflect on what's really going on. You know.
Exactly. Oh, she's smart, one, and she's sensitive,
and God,
but she's
God,
godly.
Yeah.
She is.
I mean, I have
she
a neighbor
is.
Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. She's your daughter, of course.
Oh,
a neighbor, his there's people leaving California right now because of the bill that's passing. It'll be mandatory in the fall. for children to be vaccinated. There's going to be no out. Like, there's always been an out if you didn't want to vaccinate. And your child will not be able to attend a public school unless you vaccinate. So it's people are leaving because of it. And they should because no one should tell you what to do. I know they're going to come after homeschoolers next. But, you know, we're leaving. So no one's putting poisons in my kid. And you know what? If something happens and it's forced, and there's nothing I can do. I mean, I'll do everything I can to resist because that's just what I'll do because I'm an intelligent, informed human being. Mm-hmm. But if it comes down to it, I know the Lord. He'll protect my son's never going to a public school. He never has. He never will. But what I'm saying is, he'll protect him, and he'll protect everybody. And if your daughter has to go work in an evil institution, he'll protect her. He told me personally to leave the evil institution. I'm subbing now. I'm not under a contract or anything. I'm subbing, you know, part-time to make ends meet, and that's fine. You know, that's totally fine. But he didn't want me going back. You know, I'm telling you, it's sad when nurses and teachers, and these are the people we think of that are normally caring for the helpless, are seeing such evil. What my sister sees is so gross. She's like, it is about money. It is not about caring for people. And I know that's, you know, like old news to people, but to actually live with my sister who sees it day in and day out, and it makes her want to throw up, and then me seeing what's going on. I've seen what goes on in public school for years. It's no big deal to me. I mean, it is a big deal, but what I'm saying is it's just how it is. It's almost like the children build up a resistance to the sickness of the system, and they just somehow make it because children are resilient. But it's just such a damper on their creativity, this type of public evil school system. But God still has his mercy on kids and will keep them in these evil places. Sure. He's keeping all of us. Whether or not we have, you know, Alana works in the pit of hell, and, you know, he's keeping her. He's keeping her. He might not call you out of it before he gets here, but you'll find his grace in it. And so we'll just continue to pray for your daughter, Pat, because we know that she's got a good heart. And she has a good heart. And there is a place for her if God wants to make that place. He will. And one of the things we can't forget, just because this evil is closing in, just because it's closing in does not mean that it's dictating to us what we're supposed to do.
Oh, absolutely not.
God dictates what we're supposed to do. And he will make a place in this evil world for a good person to do something if he wants you to do that. If he wants you to. But what I see happening, honestly, is him pulling people out. People getting laid off, people getting having to quit because he's saying game over. It's time to go home. I'm sort of letting the end fall on God's doing, picking and choosing who he does this with, okay? He literally pulled me out because of what he did to my son. But what I'm saying is God's doing, this is what he told me today. I was sharing it with Jerry. It's so amazing. And he didn't tell it to me just in one day. He's been telling it to me over a couple weeks. He's been speaking to me about, it's amazing because for us to think that God is really, he really is the ultimate micromanager. I mean, and he is God, so he can totally do it, but it's hard for us to imagine it. It still really is hard for me to imagine that God's in charge of everything, and he's also in charge of little old me. But he's obsessing over, he's micromanaging my every affair. I mean, and he's regulating how far CERN can go, and he's regulating how far this volcano that CERN, you know, the CERN waves, broke. Okay, I'm going to let this volcano go off. CERN tried to make 5 go off, but only 1 went off.
Wow.
I'll let this one go. I'll just, you know what I mean? He's got his hand on everything. And he really, he's got his hands everywhere. And I mean, literally, I mean, for me, to get this summer school job, it's 1 mile from my house because I don't have a car, and do it in an area of field that's going to be no problem for me. I just have to put a bunch of stuff together. It's going to take quite a bit of work, but once I get that done, I'll be able to. But you know what? It was just boom. And see, the thing is, I was in awe of how he did that because he told me to give up all this stuff, and I did. And then, you know, now I need some things, and he's providing it. And yes, it's offensive. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's not supposed to be here. But you know what I mean? But what he requires of us is faith and obedience. So I'm not going to say, I am a lump of clay. I'm not going to say the potter. What do you do? I can say it, but then I do. I'm very vocal.
So
but the thing is, I can say it, but I immediately comply. I know he's smarter than I. I know he knows what he's doing. So even when I protest, I'm in compliance, 100% compliance with my king, because I have had enough life experience with him to know that he always knows what's right, even if in my mind it doesn't make sense, or even if in my mind it seems to go against something he already showed me. Nope, you know what? I'll understand it in a blink of an eye. I don't have to understand every little detail, but I know that my God is a micromanager, and he understands every detail. So if he's setting things up and I go along with it, I got it made in the shade. I have nothing to fear. Hi. And, you know, this is what it's like in the last hour. Maybe, you know, Pat, we don't know what he's working out in your daughter. This whole thing probably, I'm sure of it, that it all came about for a particular purpose. With Tana right now with her car, I'm convinced his hand is in this. It's really hard hearing Tana cry yesterday and being upset. But we know God, and I'm glad she did, and I'm glad we got to be there for her and pray for her. And I was really feeling today when I was praying for Tana and her car and everything, he is so in this. He is so in. He told her this would be, she doesn't need to get a new car until he comes. And so, you know, Tana is being challenged in her faith with her daddy to take care of this car. And she's going to see it. She's going to see him come through. We don't know how. We're all praying. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to watch God do a miracle. And and he will. And you know what? Sometimes miracles, to somebody that might not be a miracle, but it is to Tana.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I think it's a miracle living in California. It's super expensive, and it's like to just have to get another car. It's just ridiculous, you know. And but God, he's allowing these situations, and he's allowing stuff, but he's also in it, providing these glorious ways so that we can see where his hand, 'cause see, he's micromanaging it. Mm-hmm. He's making sure that everything's in place. When we're in compliance with him and we get with him right away, we don't miss it. And we might feel like we're trudging along and missing it because we're not really feeling his direction, but trust me, he's good. He'll make sure we get it because he knows our heart. And so for everyone that's going through stuff, it really is a sign of God's love and affection for you, really. I know it's hard to look at it that way, but it really...
Oh, it is.
If you're in the
that.
Trials, in the fire of his testing, it's really a beautiful place to be. I really don't like it when I'm skating along and everything's smooth because, I don't know, there's a certain muscle that gets flexed when we are exercising faith moment by moment. And he does give us respite from it, where we can have rest from it. But I'm always ready to go back in the ringer and be on the front line of faith because, see, that's where all the glory is found. So the greatest amount of glory is on the front lines of the faith. That's where that's where I get whacked. That's where I get hammered. That's where I see him move. So, you know, I mean, the skating in the back seat is fine for a rest for a few days, but then it's like, okay, let's get back out. Let's, you know, what are you, you know, because it's fun to join God in the faith encounters. It really is. And you're never going to see stuff unless he puts you out there. And some people joke around saying, oh, I'm fine with it. I don't need any encounters, but you know what? God made us spiritual people by nature and we crave it, even if we don't want to go through it. Something in us craves this, and because God made us that way. He made us this way too, as hunger and a thirst for the things of the Spirit that we don't see in the realm of faith. And so he's going to push us into it most of the time with most of us. I know me, he has to push me into it because I'm not willingly going to go jump into a faith, front line faith situation because it's like, it's scary and it's unknown and there's nothing, and I'm a teacher and I'm a control freak, so I'm not going to be doing. I'm not volunteering for that. So then God just has to put me in those things. You know what I'm saying? He has to set me up and do it all shady to where I'm in the. Suddenly, I find myself on the front line of faith in a situation. But I'm grateful that He does it because He knows I have it in me. If He puts me out there, but I'm not going to go sign up for it. And most people won't. And that means that you're 100% normal. Okay, it really does. And so this is what he's doing, you know, just, you know, I'm always getting little surprises, okay? And I'm telling you, the devil is totally weak and powerless. Just continue to laugh at him and continue to ignore him. And if God wants you to address him and rebuke him, you can, okay? But honestly, God, I know how big God is. So that doesn't even, like, come into the equation. But, like, today I saw the devil working through a person, and I just had to call it out. I'm just like, that is just the devil, because he knows if he comes in horns and does it so obvious, but he's working through a person, and just ignore it. And it's mean because people are like, that's mean because you're ignoring a person. No, I'm not. I'm ignoring the devil working through that person, okay? I'm just not playing into the person's demonic stuff that's working through them. So I'm ignoring, sometimes I have to ignore a person because I'm ignoring that devil that's working through them, you know? And people are not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. We love people. But sometimes when the enemy is working through people on such an obvious and blatant way, you know, I always ask God, how do you want me to deal with it? Is this person going to get deliverance through my friendship, or am I just to walk away? What do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. Because, see, I'm not helping anyone if I'm trying to be compassionate in my flesh. I've got to operate in the spirit and say, God, what can help? Just ignore this. This is just it's silly. It's wasting your time.
Well, that's how Laura is.
You know, so then you just have to go to God through each thing. You don't just have rules for life. Each situation is important to God. Each demonic thing you encounter, you know what I mean? You have to ask the Lord. Because, see, people are precious. People are precious. Mm-hmm. God loves people. So when demons are working through people, we have a tendency to treat the person bad. But you have to go, wait, no. That is a person highly and dearly beloved by God, and myself too. Now, they're being mean to me, but I can look past that because I can see what's going on here. And I can pray and love them, you know, and we just have to look at all those situations like that we encounter daily, and then just ask God. And God will tell you as quick as you ask him if you need to know it that quick. And he will let you know, he tells me straight up, just ignore that one. I'm like, but it's going to hurt their feelings. And he's like, it's okay. They'll be fine. This is good for them. Just write it off. Don't pay it any mind. I want that devil to come out of them, and it's going to come out if you just ignore it, and they get rejected a little more, and then they'll finally get it that it's not people they're mad at, it's me, and they need to repent. And I'm like, okay, God, I got it. All right, I got it. You know, and that's how we love, that's how we truly love people, is by giving them the energy that God gives us, and being authentic and real, and not just trying to be, you know, and just, because see, God, I didn't want to tell my sister today, you know, when she, in her emergency text, you know, pray for me, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to tell her Jesus is coming, so this really won't matter. But God told me to tell her. I was like, she's just going to get mad at me like she always does whenever she has a problem and she asks me to pray, and I tell her it's temporary and blah, blah, blah. And God's like, this is your job to tell her. I was like, okay. And she's like, you know, that doesn't help me when you say that. And I said, I know. I'm just here to remind you that time is very short, sis, and God loves you, and he told me to tell you that. And he also told me that he's going to continue to lead you tenderly in your job so you don't have to worry. And then she received it. She said, okay, well, thank you. I didn't really like hearing that part, but I know that you love me and that you're saying these words from God, so thank you. She appreciated it. But, I mean, I didn't really want to tell her because I knew how she was going to act. If I told her, you don't have much time here, don't give it that much energy. You know, but the Lord said, tell her, time is short. Mm-hmm. Tell her, I'm coming. You know, I don't. But I'm not doing anyone a favor if I'm acting any way other than how God wants me to behave. You know,
exactly.
I could have just made my sister's day, never said anything about God's coming soon, so don't worry about it. I could have just said what I knew she wanted to hear was, okay, I'm praying, and then that was my only text. No, God was, like, bugging me. I'm like, I don't want to tell her that. She's going to get mad at me like she always does. He's like, you tell her. I want you to tell her. And then she ended up thanking me, right? But the thing is, I got a bunch of flack for it for a minute. And I like to avoid drama. But sometimes God wants to put me in the middle of drama because See, I'm just a love slave. I've got to do what my daddy, I'm a slave.
Exactly.
And we're all love slaves to the king. And we say
yes,
we love him. And we're proving it by the way that we treat him and the way we treat others. Because the Bible says, you know that you're in me because you love one for another. And so what I'm saying is, you know, love looks many different ways. And the main way that love looks is obedience to our Creator and how we treat others. Are we behaving toward them the way God has asked us to behave? Or are we people-pleasing? Or are we being disingenuous? Because, see, that doesn't help anybody, and it doesn't help us. And I know I'm saying all this because I know stuff's going on relationally with a lot of people here. I just know it. I can feel it in my spirit that there's just God is busting out relationship issues left and right. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's people you love and live with, whether it's boyfriends, girlfriends, but he is just working it through that angle. And remember, we continue to seek God's wisdom in all these situations. We bring each and every situation to him, and you can just do it as you go. And he really will tenderly guide. He told me to tell my sister, he will continue to tenderly lead and guide you in your workplace so you don't have to worry. So he really will work things out in all the situations we're in. And,
oh, yeah, I just believe so.
But see, it's not really the goal. The goal is God work it out. The goal is the process through which we go through as God works it out. That's where he's refining us. So we always want to get to the end result and not have to go through the process, because that's just who we are. We're people, and we want to avoid trouble. Who doesn't? I do. I'm like, can I take a shortcut now? But, you know, God wants us to go through things so that we get refined and changed and more beautiful to him. And so we do. And so we surrender. And that's all this walk is about until he gets here. And he is going to require faith right up until he gets here. That's what he told me. There's no skate walk. There's no, okay, now you can relax. I mean, we're always relaxed. In the spirit, we should be. We should never be carrying burdens. The Bible says to give them to the Lord. So if you're all stressed out, you know, that's your fault. You didn't give it to the Lord. What I'm saying is, though, he's going to require faith in us right up until he gets here. And that, to the bride, him requiring that of the bride, the groom requiring faith right up until he sees us face to face, see, he's not a foolish lover. And so that's how you know you're a true bride. You're marrying someone worth marrying. And and that's how he knows you're someone that he should marry. Because you've proven yourself that you are a worthy bride. It has nothing to do with salvation. We're talking about marrying the king of the universe at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a totally different event from salvation. So if you aren't in the refining fire of faith, I'm not sure you're a bride. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, don't think it's some, the Bible even says, don't think it's some weird thing, that all these fiery trials that are upon you. You know, it's not weird. It's what God does to get us right up there in his faith, into the throne room, into the throne room of the King of Kings, because that's where these trials put us. They put us right in the throne room. And none of us totally enjoy it, but I do, actually. It's all good. It's any place where the Lord is, I'm going to be happy, even if it's an uncomfortable situation, because I know I'm right where he wants me. So it's bliss. It's bliss. Now, I know Jerry needs to cut the show off in an hour, and I didn't really, I'm sorry, Jerry,
well,
I went over. I just.
Actually, I can go till the bottom of the hour, and I was going to share a couple of things. One that came up during the show, every once in a while we descend into the food channel, and I mentioned earlier I was eating. I got a fortune cookie. Now, what are fortunes about? They're about the future, right? I got a fortune cookie with no fortune in it.
Yeah.
So I'm taking that as I was at tonight, well, after the show starts.
That's a good one.
But,
Jerry, you mean was the paper blank?
There's no paper at all.
Oh okay.
it's a regular fortune cookie like we've gotten before, and this one had none at all, nothing at all in it.
Oh, they forgot. Oh, my gosh.
You have no future, Jerry.
No future, Jerry.
I have no future. He's got to take me.
I'm not on Earth.
He has to take me now.
Hey, Jerry, did that happen during the show?
That happened after the show started, yeah. I was just sitting here. And
that is terrible. Thank you.
Yeah, it's when you started speaking.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But I'm loving that.
Oh, that's funny.
So I wanted to get to one other little minor item. Pat, you sent me email with a video that was from the Gersh Show. I forget what they call it.
Yeah.
But they showed it in okay. And I watched that. Now, it's interesting because I watched this guy's interview, at least part of it, and I didn't get the high points that were in the video. But I'm going to read a couple things just off the text under the video. The video, he had a guest, and his name is Jim Wiles. And and this is just from the bottom of the video. It says he got a prophecy, and it was about kind of end time events and God's judgment. And these are the quotes. The Lord said, "I will give you a national audience on television just before the judgment strikes America." And then he's saying to Jim Baker, who's the host, "Jim, nobody has invited me on television until you today." Okay. This is a recent program. Another quote, "We're being overthrown by domestic enemies. We have been infiltrated and taken over from inside." We've discussed that more than once.
Mm.
"The biblical pattern for judgments is drought, famine, pestilence, and war," in that order. Drought, famine, pestilence, war, that's the pattern. Okay, so, and then he says the church in America is going underground. Of course, it's going underground because it's going to be under attack. Interesting metaphor, however, since we know the elites are going underground on the 22nd of September. Really underground into their bunkers. Interesting metaphor. Okay, so the thing is, what I wanted to mention about that was that I watched that video, and Jim Baker was on there. And the guy, this Rick Wiles, referenced a book that he wrote, Jim Baker. And in this book, he said he had a vision. And the vision was he had a vision, and it was first he saw Jesus. And then he saw the four horses of Revelation. And he said they were, and this is Jim Baker saying, he said that they were evil. And that they, you know, they were very angry, and they were coming. And basically, they were coming and armed to kill people. And he said, and I disagree with this, he said that, you know, people sometimes think that, you know, those are from God, Jesus riding a white horse, and blah, blah, blah. He actually switched history around, and so he got it wrong. But the point I have was he actually provided the evidence of his own misunderstanding, because he was saying that because these four horses were presiding over death, that they were evil. And that as a result, his presumption was they could not be from God. But the other thing he said happened in the vision is he looked back to Jesus when he saw these things, these horses going out to create havoc. And he was like appealing to Jesus, and Jesus just turned his head away.
Yeah.
And the point is, he didn't understand. These horses do come out of heaven, and they are God's judgment. Okay? There is death in God's judgment. Okay? Not everything that kills is evil. Some of what kills is righteous. So just because the power of death can come out of heaven, just because somebody might die, does not by definition mean it's evil. And these things come out of heaven. Jesus turned his head in his vision to show him that he had released his hand in protection, that it must be done. You know, this is almost like a parent again. It's like a parent. Parents have to discipline. But when they discipline, a lot of times, either literally or figuratively, they turn in their heads. They don't really want to do it, but it has to be done. And this is what Jesus was showing him. He didn't get it. He just thought because death was involved, it had to be evil. That's a very simplistic perspective, and it shows a lack of understanding of the end time plan of God. So I'm not really trying to call him out. I was really taken by that because the way he said it, he presumed to have a better insight, and even his own vision really pretty clearly shows that God was endorsing what was happening. Okay, so one of the other things that I wanted to mention was I'm going to start getting into Hebrews here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it right now. Maybe we'll do a little bit at a time. But I'm going to start off here and just read a few verses out of Hebrews. And I believe that what will eventually come out of this, and very rapidly even this evening, is it really will discuss kind of our dispensation. And one of the things that Judy mentioned about some of the people who don't quite get where we're coming from really comes out right in this. There's really a lot here. I would encourage you to look at all of Hebrews 4, but I'm going to start here, Hebrews 4:9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Now, what he's talking about is not just a Sabbath day rest. He's talking about a spiritual rest. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. And he's talking about it. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is how we get cleansed from within. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we were, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In other words, we approach the throne of grace in need, not in perfection. And God understands this. Okay, yeah. So then I'm going to skip in Hebrews 5 down to Hebrews 5:5. What he does, beginning of Hebrews chapter 5, he describes what the earthly human priest appointed by God is. Then he continues in Hebrews 5:5. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. In other words, the human priest was appointed by God. And then also he continues, but God said to him, quote, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Jesus' petition for those around him, he saw. Son though he was of God, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, and now this is a bit of a switch up here. Because now this is about to whom he's writing. And he's writing people that have basically backslidden. And instead of gone forward in their spiritual growth, they have become stuck and backslidden a little bit. And this is what he says about them in relationship to where they ought to be in the order of Melchizedek under Jesus the high priest. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, and by the way, I don't believe he's just talking about simple salvation here. He's talking about the difference between walking in law and walking in the Spirit and having grown in spiritual understanding and relationship with God. Okay? Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Okay, the righteousness imparted through our relationship with God by our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. That's where the righteousness comes from. But not from the law and not from obeying law or doing works. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Okay? And so this is the beginning of how we begin to be described in the order of Melchizedek. And we are in the order if we are righteous, and the righteousness is not our own righteousness. It's, of course, the righteousness of God imparted by our high priest. Okay? Now, I'm going to say one or two things about Melchizedek that came that come out of, there will be more as I go through this, but out of that Perry Stone series that Faith sent me. But here's the basic teaser. The basic teaser is, it's not even a teaser, it's a straightforward fact. Melchizedek, the original Melchizedek, which this is, I think we get into that in chapter 6. Melchizedek was probably Shem, Noah's son. But it makes an, and he would have been alive at the time of Abraham, so this actually does work chronologically. Melchizedek was the high priest of God. He was also the king of Salem, the forerunner of Jerusalem, okay? Now, Salem in Hebrew is Shalom. Melchizedek was the high priest appointed by God who also was the king of Shalom, meaning the king of peace. So the high priest and the king of peace and the pattern of Melchizedek is the same description as Jesus. The king of peace is Jesus, and that means he has both kingdom and priesthood, which is unlike the earthly Levite priesthood. Okay? And it's his kingship, which we discuss on the other end of it. We discuss Jesus as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We discuss the end point. But this, in a certain way, is the conceptual beginning point of all of this. And if you understand where Melchizedek was and who he was, in the sense that he had both the high priesthood of God as well as the King of Peace, which also would have been the forerunner of Jerusalem, you can see the pattern and the type a lot more clearly of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to stop there right now. I'm going to go over some things, and we can come back to this because there's some other things that are interestingly said about Melchizedek, and there's some things that I learned through this series of Barry Stone, a few things that I want to point out. But the bottom line is, the core of Hebrews is really from about chapter 4 or 5 through to the end. And it is a very apt description and a way of understanding where those who pursue on a continual basis and have developed over time their relationship with God, they are not through only through our obedience and pursuit, but everything material from God's point of view, which comes out of God, is imparted, but it is imparted through the order of Melchizedek, which includes the King of Peace, but it also includes the King of Righteousness. Okay? So our righteousness comes through this and by him, and but it comes through a developed relationship, not a stunted growth or one which lacks confidence. Okay? And one of the things that we have here is we have confidence in how he leads us, and we have confidence because we have developed it over time, and that allows us, from a human point of view, to maintain our confidence in the face of things that other people do not understand, and even we ourselves don't always understand. And that is why I find this very interesting from our rapture-centric family point of view. I think it's very instructional. I think there's more in it. I'll get into that later. Okay, so I really do have to be out here. Is there anything somebody would like to offer right now? Because I have...
No, not really. There's
nothing well, I can really add other than Melchizedek is someone who I have been fascinated by, who I have developed a small relationship with, in obedience, not independently, but it was simply presented. And there's something known and something unknown about him. There is what you can know by sifting through the Bible, you know, but there is something that one cannot know. And I sort of want to underscore the mystery of who this truly was, and saying everything is not, you know, the whole universe is not locked in a book.
No,
and it is perhaps deliberate that there are some things that are mystery, and I have a warm place in my heart for mystery and questions that are unanswered. So anything that you want to add to that would certainly be welcome. I would certainly welcome that because he is a figure quite dear to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that. Thank you, Anna. I'm interested to go here. I'm not going to say that I have a ton. There's things to know, and actually there's a history here that reflects both on Jesus as well as Melchizedek. But I think what really captivated me recently when I started reading over this was that I knew it related to us. And so if we review the relationship and the order of Melchizedek and the relationship between Jesus and Melchizedek, I think we're going to learn something about ourselves. And if we think of it in that context. And so that's really was my first inkling of motivation to go into this. And I was already ready to do this, and then Faith sent me that video series, which also had a lot of good information in it. And ironically, they covered a lot of things besides what they said they were going to do, but that's Perry Stone. But anyway, he's just got so much to discuss. And anyway, it's very, very worthwhile and interesting. And I'm interested to get into it more. I wanted to do this a couple of weeks ago. It just wasn't in the cards, but so to speak. But anyway, that's where we're going to go. I'm going to, I do need to be out of here in a few minutes. So yeah. I'm going to close this out with a song. This song came to my mind the other day, and Judy's dream brought it back to mind.
Thanks, Jerry. It was a good sharing. Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome. Judy's dream reminded me of this because if I got it right, it starts out, it's been a long road, which we can all relate to. And it reminded me of the road Judy's walking down across to get to her house and all the hail's coming down in her dream. So anyway, I'm going to close it out. Love you all. We will see you back
love
tomorrow.
You too.
And I'll try to,
yep.
I will try to get it going a little bit sooner.
Anna, be Jerry.
Yeah.
Love you.
Oh, boy. The spirit of the bride says,
come.
We're waiting.
Come get it, don't they?
We are waiting just in case you hadn't noticed.
What?
Oh, yes. We're waiting, Lord. Yeah. No.
Okay. Here's the song. Love you all. See
okay.
You
love you, Doctor.
Night all.
It's been a long road.
Oh, yeah.
Getting from there to here. It's been a long time. But my time is finally. And I can feel the change in the wind right now.